One of my favorite things about the icon in the dome is the fact that no matter which angle you look, the eyes of Jesus are always upon you. I have a question I'd like to ask all of you. I wanted to ask this question last weekend, our first weekend back in the church, but Palm Sunday didn't seem like the appropriate time, but today, Easter Sunday, seems like the good time to ask this question. But before I ask the question, I want everyone just to take a moment and just look around the church. Look at the new painting, the marbling, the stenciling, the scripture passages. Just kind of look around, take it all in. And so here's my question. Well, what do you think? Good, I agree. I think it looks fantastic. And so this morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the symbolism here in this painting project, specifically the scripture passages. But before I do that, I just want to offer a couple words of thanks to those who helped make this project possible. First of all, I want to thank Conrad Schmidt Studios, the company that we work with, who did this phenomenal work. They were just great, great people to work with. I'm so grateful for our anonymous donor who came forward to pay for about 75% of this project. This person truly has left an incredible legacy here at St. Michael. I'm grateful too for the other donors who stepped forward once we announced the project to help us do some of the extra things we wanted to do, things like put the new windows in the dome, highlight the Stations of the Cross, also to do these beautiful angel icon murals over there on the walls by the saint statues. I'm also very thankful for the family and friends of Carrie Bartle, who stepped forward to fulfill Carrie's commitment after he tragically passed away this fall to paint the inner walls of the church, this terracotta color on the four sided walls, and then also the walls of the saints apse and the choir apse, that gold color. His family and friends stepped forward and totally volunteered and did it all. It was very inspiring. Grateful too for Steve Long, one of our trustees, and his crew. They came and they cleaned the baldacchino. They polished the whole thing. It looks fantastic. It shines now. I'm thankful too just for our liturgy decorating committee, who does such a great job to make our church look beautiful in the different seasons. But they did a ton of work to transfer everything over to the social hall, make that place look beautiful, and then transfer everything back over here to get us ready for Palm Sunday. So I'm grateful for all their work. I'm grateful for all the volunteers that showed up on the Friday before Palm Sunday to clean this place. This place was a disaster zone, and so many people came in here to clean it up. I'm just so grateful for their effort. And then last, I'm just grateful for all of you, our parishioners. Thank you for your patience and cooperation over these last 3 months as we were doing Mass in the social hall. I think it was worth the wait, so it's good to be back. One of the things I've always loved about churches, you see this a lot of times in churches in Europe, they have scripture passages on the walls of the church. In our historic church, it's the same thing. In our historic church, there are scripture passages along the walls. And so in this project, one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to put scripture on the walls. And as I was praying about what scripture passages should we choose, I was thinking I would let the dome lead the way. Because you see, the dome really was the inspiration for the whole project. All the new colors in the church are all based off of the dome. The gold, the blues, the reddish oranges, the greens. All those colors now are spread out through the entire church. And so I thought for the scripture passages, we should do the same. We should let the dome be the inspiration. And so what is the dome? The dome is Jesus surrounded by his disciples, the apostles. And so for the scripture passages, I wanted Jesus to speak to us in the same words that he spoke to his disciples 2,000 years ago. That he wants to speak to us here today, the modern day disciples sitting in the pews. And the first thing that Jesus wants to speak to us about, just as he spoke to his disciples about, is his identity. Who is Jesus? You see, this is everything. You see, because as Christians, we don't just follow a doctrine. No, we follow a person. We have doctrines about a person. We follow Jesus, and who he is everything. If he's just a prophet, just a good teacher, well, there's been a lot of those throughout history. But if he's the risen Son of God, the Word made flesh, that's totally different. Think about that question Jesus asked his disciples in the gospel when he says, "Who do people say that I am?" He doesn't say, "What are people saying about my teaching?" No. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" Identity. And they give some answers. And then Jesus asks them, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Again, it's all about his identity, and he wants to reveal to us his identity. In John's gospel, there are 7 famous I am statements of Jesus where he reveals who he is. And I thought those 7 scripture passages would be perfect for the walls of our church so that Jesus could speak to us about his identity. And 4 of those verses fit really nicely with the rosary windows on the 4 walls. So, for example, over here, those windows are the luminous mysteries of the rosary. So, the verse we chose is, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Luminous mysteries, light of the world, works good. Over here are the sorrowful mysteries. What are the sorrowful mysteries? The suffering, the passion, the crucifixion of Jesus, where he lays down his life for us. So we chose the passage from John chapter 10. "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Back here is the glorious mysteries. The glorious mysteries are the resurrection, the ascension, Pentecost, the assumption of Mary, body and soul into heaven, eternal life. And so we chose the verse from John chapter 11 where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live." Will live forever in eternal life in heaven. And then lastly, back here, the joyful mysteries. The joyful mysteries, the Annunciation, the Nativity. What happens at the Annunciation? Jesus is conceived, this life in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the Nativity, he comes into the world. He comes to show the way. And so we chose the passage from John 14 where Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So those are 4 of the 7. I was like, okay, that's a good spot for those 4, but I got to get 3 more in here. So where am I going to put those other 3? And I thought, oh, we have these cool cross beams and the ceilings of the church. So on this back cross beam back here above the baptismal font, there's 2 short ones. There's "I am the true vine" and "I am the gate," which is a perfect location because as you walk into the church, you look up and you read, "I am the gate," as you enter into the church. And again, there's the baptismal font right there in the back. Baptism is the gateway to the Christian life. Baptism is the gateway to the life in the Holy Spirit. "I am the true vine" is the other passage. Jesus in John chapter 15 said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." You see, it's at baptism that we're grafted onto the vine, which is Christ. And if you notice, up high on these large cross beams, there's vines that start in the back and come all the way up here to the front as a symbol that at baptism we're united to the vine of Christ, and that vine ultimately leads us all the way up here to the altar where I look up and I see number 7, "I am the bread of life." Jesus, who wants to feed us with his very body and blood. Who is Jesus? He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the good shepherd, etc. He speaks to us today through his word all around our church and above us. But that's not the only thing Jesus wants to speak to us about. Yes, his identity, who is he? But he also has a mission for us. He has something for us to do. What do you want me to do, Jesus? Well, around the base of the dome is the answer to that question. It's the last line in Matthew's gospel. It's Jesus' walk-off statement where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." It's the Great Commission. It's the mission that Jesus left his disciples, those 12 guys. And now it's our turn to fulfill that mission. I wanted to put that passage up there so that every time we walk into this church, we can look up and be reminded of our mission. Why do we exist? We exist as Christians to go make disciples of all nations. And how is the primary way the church does that? Is through the sacraments. The church brings the sacraments all over the world so people can encounter Jesus. Up there, between the beginning and end of the passage, are seven crosses. Those seven crosses are meant to symbolize the seven sacraments that the church goes to the ends of the world with to make disciples of all nations. Who is Jesus? It's all around us and above us. What does he want me to do? He wants me to go make disciples of all nations. There's two more scripture passages in here, and this will be a nice final point on Easter Sunday. There's two brand new, and they're really small. They're over here. Those two angels are holding a scroll, and each scroll has a very short scripture passage on it. These two angels represent the two angels in Luke's gospel who greet the women on Easter Sunday morning when they come to the empty tomb. In Luke's gospel, the women come with the spices and the oils to anoint the dead body of Jesus. And when they show up to the tomb is empty. And then there's these two angels who say, on the left scroll, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" On the right scroll, "He is not here, but he has been raised." That question from the angels to the women is a question that all of us should think about today on Easter Sunday. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here. He's been raised. It's almost like the angels are saying to the women, again, who are coming with their oils and spices to anoint the dead body of Jesus, it's almost like the angels are saying, what are you doing? Why are you living your life like Jesus is dead? He's not dead. He's alive. So I must ask myself the same question. Do I live my life like Jesus is dead? Or do I live my life like Jesus is alive? You'll find a lot of Catholics, a lot of Christians who may kind of in some intellectual level say, yeah, I believe in the resurrection. But it doesn't affect the way they live their lives. They actually live their lives practically as if Jesus is still dead. What we're called to do, if we really, truly believe in the resurrection, is to live my life as if he is alive, because he is alive. And what does that look like? What does it really look like to live my life knowing that Jesus is alive? It means that Jesus then has to be the very center of my life. That everything in my life is meant to revolve around him. And it means I strive every single day, every day, to keep my eyes fixed on him. In the very center of our church, up there and right there in the tabernacle, is Jesus. Why do we put him in the center? To remind us when we walk into this church that Jesus should always be in the center of our lives. And remember, He never takes His eyes off of you. You see, a dead person can't look at you. Only someone who is alive can look at you. The Jesus that icon symbolizes is not dead. He's alive, and He looks upon all of us with great love and compassion and mercy. As we begin the Easter season today, let's ask for that grace that we could truly believe who Jesus is, that He is the Good Shepherd, He is the resurrection of life, He is the bread of life, etc. Let's ask for the grace that we could fulfill the mission that He gave us to go and make disciples of all nations. And let's ask for the grace that we could always keep Him at the center of our lives. And that as He always keeps His eyes on me, every day I would strive to keep my eyes on Him.